Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Next Chapter Widows Ministry Talk Show. This is Mary Hollis, your host, and it is a rainy night in Georgia. If it's not coming down in your area, it's sure coming down in Decatur. But I love it because now my grass looks green again. It's a blessing. But anyway, I hope all is well with all of you, and we're going to continue with the stages of grief. We've talked about denial. Denial comes with shock, numbness. All you normally experience all of these pretty much during the same time. The second one is anger. The third is bargaining. We included another one in there. It's normally five stages of grief, but we included another one in there that some books include that and some does not. Is sadness. And the next one is depression. And number six is acceptance. Well, tonight we want to talk about depression. After talking about the definition of depression, I am going to read one of our stories from our widow's touch, that pretty much one of our widows went through. And she mentioned, I'll tell you the title and everything when I get to that part, but you'll find it very interesting and also relating to depression. Now, also, we only have one more to talk about, acceptance. And we will be talking about that at the end of the month, and I'll discuss that further as we get to that as well. Well, depression is a mood disorder that negatively affects how you feel, the way you think, and the way how you act. Depression is pretty much common, but it can become very serious. And these are some of the signs and the symptoms. Feeling sad, guilty, hopelessness, worthlessness, Another one is insomnia, not getting enough sleep, or getting excessive sleep, where all you want to do is just sleep all the time because you figure by you sleeping, you won't have to think about it. When you wake up, you know, yes, you start thinking about your situation and how you feel, but as you sleep, you want to just sleep because you figured that you won't have to think about it. Restlessness, loss of interest in activity. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to do anything. And also thought of suicide. Many of our widows, and even in the book, The Widow's Touch, mentioned, you know, they didn't want to live anymore without their spouses. So, and it's not just a spouse thing. We feel that way when we lost another family member, a special loved one. A special loved one could be a mother, a brother, anyone that is special to you. You feel that same way. You don't want to be around anymore because you don't want to be without that person. Another one is change in appetites. Well, I experienced that first week when it was when I was planning the funeral for my husband. I didn't want to eat. I didn't feel like eating. You know, I knew I lost some pounds during that week because I wasn't eating properly. You lose energy. You lose energy because you're not sleeping, you're not eating, so you have no energy. Difficulty concentration. You forget things. You can't seem to keep up with what's going on. You keep forgetting about different things that you need to do. Someone said something to you and you forget what they said and whatever. You're just not concentrating. You're not listening to what they're saying. You're just going through the motion. So these are some of the symptoms and the signs for depression. But it's important because it can become very serious. You need to seek professional help. Well, the next chapter of Widow's Ministry can't help you in that particular way, but we will continue to support you and encourage you along the walk, and we will be there for you in any way that we possibly can. But when you start experiencing all of these symptoms and it really affects your health, you really need professional help because you need someone to see professionally, and maybe they might need to give you some sort of medication to help you sleep or whatever the situation may be, but it can become a serious problem. So that's what depression is all about. Now, I want to read the story, one of the stories out of the Widow's Touch book. And the title of this book, of the story, is Three Enemies That I Wasn't Expecting Came Along for the Ride. Let me read that title again. Three Enemies That I Wasn't Expecting Came Along for the Ride. This story was written by Tanya Boy Hill. She lives in Lithonia, Georgia. And I'm going to read the story because it really talks about depression, and it talks about what she went through. She started the book off by the story by fast forward because there were so many other things that she could have mentioned. But on August the 4th, 2001, she said her life changed. I'm going to sort of paraphrase some of the things as I go along. And she indicated her family, she went on a family vacation and had turned, which had turned into a slow motion picture. She was 38 years old with two children. She had two small children, just like I had two small children. Her daughter was 3 and her son was 7. And at that time, she became a widow. She wasn't expecting to becoming a widow at such a young age and also had two young children. Today, her son is, when she wrote the story, he was 21. But now he's out of college. He's working. He majored in engineer, and he has a great job. And her daughter now, he majored in electrical engineering. And her daughter now is in the, I think this is her senior year at Agnes Scott. She will be graduating. But, you know, God is able. Even though that, you know, she went through that loss and had small kids, God got her through. And look how those two kids, now they are very, one has started his career, and the girl is in her senior year getting ready to graduate from Agnes Scott. And she indicated that this was her child, college sweetheart. His name was John, my husband of 12 and a half years, my college sweetheart. And on that August day, he was a groomsman in my brother's wedding. He died of a heart attack at the wedding. A heart attack. He died of a heart disease. John was the only was only 38 years old. Boy, too young. And I know you might be thinking, how sad. Yet on a positive note, we were surrounded by family and friends on such an occasion. Before my husband died, even though I was saved, active in church, and a Sunday school attendant, I was still living an independent life and relied on my strength for many things. Losing John made me realize that I needed to do more work on my relationship with Christ, as I needed to learn more about how to depend on him for strength. I learned a lot about grief. I experienced grief like all of you have, but with me, three enemies that I wasn't expecting came along for the ride. They were an anxiety, depression, and fear. Those are the three enemies that came along, that she said came along with her: anxiety, depression, and fear. I would have never experienced these before. I have never experienced these before. In my distress, I sought out Christian grief counseling, support from family and friends, lay counseling, and medication. I learned a lot about grief, but the most important thing I learned, that Christ is the answer. My Christian grief counselor told me that if I was closer to God, this grief experience wouldn't have been so very difficult. Initially, the first 3 months of counseling, I sat there with the counselor and did not speak. 3 months of counseling, I sat there with the counselor and did not speak. During this time, I was given many scriptures, but these two impacted me the most. The first one was told to me by my widow's son, Mary. But going back to the definition that I expressed, that I talked about, she indicated that she sat there and did not speak. Difficult concentration. What's another? I'm trying to go back to her sadness, guilt, hopelessness, and worthlessness. It's more or less she was still in a daze, in a shock, and numbness. She was going through all these different things that the stages of grief indicate. But she had two scriptures that she focused on. Fear, in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. And there's another one, Psalms 23:4. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So she relied on these scriptures to get her through her depression. Many times during that time, during her loss, her initial loss, she called. We talked many times during the morning. She had also dealt with anxiety. She had anxiety panic attack. So each person goes through grief differently. But now she's strong. She's a high school teacher. And like I said, her kids are doing well, and she's doing well. She's strong. She's standing on God's promises, and she's going on with her life. It takes some time, and we do go through different things. Each one of us go through our grief differently. And she went through a lot, but now she can stand and tell the story that she's gotten through. But it was a difficult journey for her. And like I said, we all experience it different ways. So just knowing that your process, your stages and your process of grief is normal, but it is serious when you have all these different symptoms and it affects your health. So it's so important that you do seek professional help, because some of us need some sort of medication to help us to sleep and so forth. So just don't think that because, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to say something. A lot of us who are, we are black, some of us are, I know everybody's not on the line that are Afro-American, but we tend to not to want to go to a psychiatrist. We think, oh, no, I don't believe in going to psychiatrists. What are they going to do? Oh, they're going to sit there and just listen. So pretty much, but every, you don't know, if you're going through grief where it affects all these different symptoms, you need extra help. By staying at home and being to yourself and not being around other people will affect your health. Your blood pressure, it will probably go up or go down, or different parts, different symptoms of other types of illness that can affect your body as well. Not getting enough sleep will affect your body. So just knowing that each one of us go through grief a different way, and it is normal. But it's not normal when if you're having all these symptoms, it's normal, but it affects you in a different way if you're experiencing all of these different symptoms, and especially if you are experiencing the thought of suicide, that you don't want to live anymore. So it is important that you speak to someone so before you do something that will cause, you know, your health as well as the loss of you leaving someone else in your children or whatever. So, because those children needed Tanya to get through her journey of grief. But now she's stuck with them. She's stuck with going through the process and getting help. And now look what, she's doing well. She's a high school teacher and her kids are doing well. It's a process. It's a stage that we have to go through. Sometimes we go up, just like I talk about the U. Sometimes you're on top of the U and you fall down, but you can pick yourself back up. So you go through these stages, but just knowing that if you trust God, just like Tanya held on those two scriptures that helped her through her journey, find scriptures that will also help you through your journey as well. One of the ones that I use while I was going through my journey of grief is, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's Joshua 1:9. It is so important that you hold on to God's word. Pray and believe that he will walk with you through this journey of grief. So get some scripture. We're going to talk about that in the end of the stages. I'm going to give you some scriptures as well, but you have some favorite scripture that you can hold on to, that you can believe in and believe that God is real. God is not going to leave you nor forsake you. He will walk with you just like he did with Tanya. But I wanted to share that story because, and also I love the title that our editor named the story, because it was so, it was three enemies. I mean, three enemies that followed her and wanted to destroy her. Wanted, that was nothing but Satan, that wanted to take over her body and destroy her and not let her be able to be there for her children. But God gets the glory. So, and I'm just so happy that she's doing well and she's going on with her life. So just knowing that whatever stage that you are in, you can get through it, but you got to get through it with the word of God and believing that God will be there one day at a time. And I also want to read, you know, I always have my reading on Jesus Says. I want to read this because it means so much and relating to this this topic tonight. And Jesus says, you can find joy in the midst of brokenness. One of the hardest times to be joyful is when you are dealing with multiple problems. Multiple problems such as the loss of a loved one and also depression. Seeking solution but finding none. And then several new difficulties beseech you. If you focus too much on finding solution, you will sink under the weight of your problems and you get down, deep down in depression. So it's vital to remember that I am, that's Jesus speaking, that I am present with you in adversity. I am at work in your situation. He's at work. He's there with you every day. Sometimes you don't see him, I mean feel him, his presence, but he's right there by your side. He indicates also, my matchless wisdom enables me to bring good out of evil. I know many of us say, how can we get good out of this situation? We're losing our husband. How can I feel good about that anymore? Well, just keep believing and trusting God, and he will give you that spirit to feel good again. And also he will give you answers to what he's saying about that. He will bring good out of evil. Ultimately, outsmarting evil with good. The way to find joy in adversity is to encounter me. You can pray, Jesus, help me find you in the midst of this storm. As you unplug your emotions from all the problems and plug them in my presence, yes, in Jesus' presence, good things start to happen. Good things will start to happen for you. You will begin to get blessing. You will begin resources and ways that it will help you to get through this time in your life. Your dark mood grows steadily lighter and brighter. Also, you may remain in me, plug into my presence. Into my presence. And he will enable you to see the things from his perspective. You can be joyful in the midst of brokenness by staying connected to me. So stay connected to Jesus. Let him walk with you through this time. Like I say, he loves you, and he will, just like he indicated in our scripture for the next chapter, Widows Ministry, honor widows that are widows indeed. That means you are special. He wanted people to know that they must honor widows. So if you are special to God, why do you think he's going to walk away and leave you? If that scripture stands, and he means just that, he will walk with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So just knowing that you're special to God, even though you lost a loved one, you're saying, how special can I be if he let this happen? God didn't promise that we will live forever. So one of us has to go first. And, well, he chose our spouse to go first. But he's right here by our side, walking through this journey and these stages of grief. So that's what I want to leave with you tonight. Jesus says, just you can find joy in the midst of brokenness. You can find joy. He will allow you to have joy again and peace again within your life. So just continue to stand on his promises and believe that he will do just that. And that is all I have for tonight on depression and what Jesus says. The other thing I want to, an announcement, I want to make some announcement. Okay. Next week, we are going to the Biltmore Estate, and we will be leaving on Tuesday. So next Tuesday, there will be no talk show. I'm not going to promise you that when I get there and that night I'm going to get ready and get on the air. No, I'm not. I want to enjoy the trip, so no show next week. But we will begin the show on the 25th, and we will talk about acceptance. We also will review the different stages of grief again. I will also give you scriptures that to read during the month of July. I mentioned to you before that the month of July we're going to be on sabbatical. That means no talk show and no meetings. But I will leave you with some scripture that you can pretty much read and be encouraged by, and that will help you through the month of June. But if you need to talk to me, I'm always there and willing to be there for you. But we will be doing a lot, Sheila and a few of us will be doing a lot of planning. We'll be planning for our 16th anniversary. So save that date, September 16th. Please save that date. No, not September 16th. I'm sorry. September 21st is our 16th anniversary. It's going to be on Saturday. So save that date so you can be a part of that celebration. The other thing is on in August when we resume back, we're going to have our first meeting in August, the third Saturday in August. And where are we going? We're not going to have it at my home. We're going to have it at TGIF, Friday at Stonecrest Mall. Every year, TGIF, they give back to the community. They let you, that different organization that gives, do things for the community, reaching out back to the, to others. They will supply a breakfast. And the whole restaurant is just for us during 8 to 11 a.m. on that Saturday morning. And they prepare a full breakfast, everything, sausage, eggs, biscuit, fruits, and all, and coffee, and orange juice, all that stuff, and it's free. So we do this every year. We always pick a certain month, and we're picking the month of August. And during that time, we're going to talk about our anniversary, the different things that we're going to be doing. So we would like for you to join us and have breakfast with us. We can have up until 25 people. So once we get back, I'll be texting you so you can make sure that you tell me if you are coming, because I need to let TGIF organization know who will be coming to the breakfast. So that's a wonderful thing that they do. They reach out and help others, organizations that are giving back to the community. So that's a wonderful thing. So it's all free, and it's on a Saturday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. And that's pretty much it that I have. So your week, bring prayer, and also find scriptures that you that is strong. 91 is the 27th. Psalms 91, 27, 20, 23. There's so many, and I will be giving you some scripture to for you to be able to read. And also another thing for you to do too: purchase A Widow's Touch, and also the new book, O Lord, What Am I to Do? Purchase those two books and read it during the month of July. If you know anyone that needs that book, go to Amazon.com. They'll get it to you in no time. The A Widow's Touch is $15, and the other book is $6.99. So purchase them and read them, and enjoy good reading of different stories of widows as they go through their journey. They went through their journey of grief. It will encourage you and strengthen you as well. So have a great week, and I'll be talking to you on June the 25th, and that will be the only and the last Tuesday in the month of June, and then we will be in sabbatical for the month of July until August. And I hope you will join us at TGIF for our breakfast there. So that is all I have, and be blessed, and have a great week, and pray that we have traveling grace and mercy. It's 40 of us that will be going on this trip, and we hope that the weather's going to be good, and we have a great time, that all is well. So be in prayer. The ones that are not going, be in prayer for us. And we just thank you so much, and we love you, and stay tuned next, the 25th of June. I'll talk to you then. Be good, and God bless. Good night.
It looks as if